Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
And welcome back to the Home Goal FC podcast. We have Kev Brothers and the main man, Dom. Kevin Kyle, take it away, sir.
Dom, thanks very much for joining us and taking us through that.
You're right at the start. So this week's podcast comes to us from the obviously our headline sponsor and good friends, Jones White. Brilliant in here, innit, boys? You've been in here a few times, Brothers, haven't you?
No,
I've never been in here. You've been in here a few times, big boy. By the way, you keep in here soon the way you're talking about Lynn, haven't you? How is she anyway?
Did they divorce?
We do.
I actually read a good thing today. I read an article today that says that you're better off the giller than being divorced and single. So we'll just ride the storm on there. So I'll maybe get a wee while. I'll get 6 months. I'll maybe need to call you then.
Nah, mate. I'm not going to do that.
Let's stay away from all that chat. Now, Dom, you're the head. I mean, it says here the head of group legitation. What does that actually mean?
Group litigation.
That's what I was meaning. You know head that. Of group litigation. So, what does that mean for guys like myself who have not got a clue what that means?
So, guys
take
like yourself,
it away, my friend.
So, for instance, the diesel emission scandal just now. It's a case that we've got as part of a group litigation. So, we can represent thousands of people in the one action. So, it's like a class action, America.
Aye.
So, in this case, we've got diesel emissions.
So, see, on the diesel emissions, talk to me about it. I had a diesel car.
Well, for the last 10 to 15 years, biggest manufacturers of cars, your Mercedes, Vauxhalls, Nissans, Volvos, we believe that they've installed what's called a cheat device. A cheat device in their vehicles, their diesel vehicles.
Oh. Is that today with like emissions?
It is.
So what they try to do, pump out lower emissions than what they're saying they're pumping out?
Exactly. So what happens is these cars, they understand they're in testing conditions. So it's to do with the temperature in the labs.
Yeah.
And what that allows them to do is go down to a low emission mode and they'll give out just enough emissions to pass the test. But then when they're driven about in the normal road, then produce much more. So ultimately, the people that are buying the cars are being misled to actually
have
much emissions.
I'm thinking, me as a wee taxi driver in the city, when these charges come in, it's down to them because they've been pumping out higher emissions and we've had to put in charges to reduce the emissions.
So on that then, though, what do you need from like, a customer then? What if you don't have the paperwork to prove that you had that car?
Well, all we need just now from is a registration and it'll take you less than a minute to check. Go onto the Jones White website, joneswhite.co.uk.
Brilliant.
There's a link at the bottom to follow as well. All you have to do is put your registration in. If it's within the last 10 to 15 years, we'll tell you within a minute if you qualify.
Is this similar to is this similar to like similar to the PPI scandal?
To a degree, I've like been missold something or misled.
Misled,
aye. That's right. Put the registration into that link. If it comes back as a qualifying vehicle, we'll take your case on, no win, no fee. Essentially, it could be free money for you.
Could you? So you could gain some money back then, aye?
Yeah, potentially thousands.
Oof. As many cars as you think you've...
As many cars you've got.
Oh, I had a few cars, have you?
No, I'm just saying.
You have a few big belters, you know.
A lot of the Porsches, you get them in there.
What I should say, it doesn't have to be a new car. So it can be an old car, it can be a leased car, a mobility car.
You better get it. Okay, get more about scooters.
What about scooters? My scooter's parked outside, you know.
Scooters. No considered. We've not had a scooter yet.
Start making me think about it.
Put it in.
Listen, so just to would you want to summarise it for the viewers?
Yeah, so go on to Jones White website now. Time is running out with these.
What is it?
It's potentially the shutters are coming down soon. So
has there been a successful claim yet, or is it what are you looking? Are you looking for numbers so that you have a group of people that makes it a stronger case to go and then fight the
battle?
The battle.
Well, there has been. We were part of a steering group, so we settled a case against Volkswagen for millions of pounds very recently. So on the strength of that,
guys listening in, you might get money for nothing here potentially. A few quid in your pocket.
I see a right. Transplant there as well.
That's
once
right.
That set you back.
Not as much as this. This will get you anyway.
So you'll be absolutely outstanding.
Thank you.
Right, cheers.
What a sub it was. David Tutton, how are you, my friend?
Magnificent. How are you, mate? All right?
Good to see you. Good. The last time I seen him, I'm no joking, I had you swinging about the dressing room.
No.
Remember that?
When did you try and do? What happened?
I can't remember. I just remember you started, you were screaming, remember?
Up to Joe's member. I sparred me and you, remember? And you jumped in the ring and you hit me hard and you flew out the ring and ran right out the place and never came back. Never came back.
I digged him a belt and sprinted it right out of his.
I never came back, but just left.
It's a bit like his Clyde to you.
I know.
Well,
you were all right.
Kev's in fire. What's going
on, isn't he? Stiff as a block. Oh my God. Nate, be fair, mate, you've had some career, but at Earth. Oh, wow, man. You were brilliant back in the day. Sunderland, that you were magnificent,
good
mate. You were good to have a bit.
It was just not for me.
How good was it, but?
It was good laughing.
We're talking about Marco and Kerzo and all that. You, Scotty. Big beats, that was some dressing
about. Type of beats.
Aye, but you slaughtered him, didn't you? He's going to have you.
I always say this with beats. It actually got me really well, you know.
Aye.
And then I gained him, but he would batter me as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, by the way, he can fight. By the way, in the ring, remember? Hitting that bag. Oof.
Now, we've asked him, what about him as a player?
Listen, you obviously gave me a bit, that's fine, but I'm going to say you're a fucking maniac. Yes, have you ever watched the film when they're on the jail and they had the game of football? What's that called with the monk and gold?
Mean Machine. Yeah,
that was your nickname, the monk.
Yeah, but that was Jamie McCulkin that gave me that. You are the South.
Was it?
Tapping, obviously, we're doing side of games and he was a sign man. The boss went to him. But I've went to get it, but I've slipped and tripped and I've threw my head at his boot in it. And that was it, just mad monk. That was it, just stuck. And then Conroy as well.
I remember the first time I met, the first session I went there, I was on the bus. I don't know if I'm about to say this. I was on the bus and we were flying down to the training. It was that wee Astro at the school out there.
Aye, aye.
So we're flying down and we're going about 30 miles an hour here. And the side door just goes, I'm just here, I'm going fucking right flying right out.
I did, mate.
We're going, aye, aye. Aye.
Weren't you? He was into, like, laugh, the boys used to just tell him to do something stupid and he was thinking, no, you'll no do that.
It was Marco.
You used to turn around and say, "Aye, I will, mate."
It was Marco. Remember Marco? Aye, I did a few times.
You and say, "You know, he'd have that bin." Cast iron bins, chuck them up, and he'd go,
"No line, mate. It's no line." It was Marco. Don't remember last.
All the robots to fucking let you do stuff like
it was,
that.
Remember you know
Marco? Aye, just travel with some man.
By the way, I liked. She's a manager, and I thought he was good.
He was good, mate. That season was hard, mate, wasn't it?
That was difficult. Him and Andy, the two of them were good.
Mate. You're not good enough.
Do you remember one at Sunra? I gave two penalties away. He was like, shouldn't the ref to send you off?
Marco,
try to get me send off. I said, just send them off for him. I gave two penalties away. And he's like, that's the worst goalkeeper performance I've ever seen in my life.
Are you still playing, mate?
Aye, I'm still hanging in there as long as I can, mate.
Airdrie?
I'm the goalie coach stroke player, so. But,
He was talking about it, he's the boys on it.
Aye, it's good, mate. It's a good setup there. Reese is brilliant. See, Reese and Dicey, two of them are magnificent.
Trying to Reese, remember when we talk about a lot of young coaches, and we'll get into this quickly, we'll move on, but we'll talk about a lot of young coaches and young managers. Mm-hmm. Reese McCabe could go
100%. 100%, aye, because the boys take to him the way he goes about the identity, the philosophy he's playing. They're all taking to him, and they're all doing it in the pitch, so we're doing really well. So
he still plays, Reese, sir?
Aye, good player, mate.
Is he able to, like, control things from the...
He does, but if he's making subs, blah, 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 he'll shout to me. Let's get him ready, blah, blah, blah. Take somebody off and put somebody on. So he'll shout to me. So, aye. By the way, great trust. That's what you need, loyalty and trust. That's what it's like. That's what you need.
Has he got that side to him, though, where he can switch? That's what
he's.
Has he?
Aye. A couple of weeks ago, he he switched and I was like, what? I was a wee bit took into it, obviously.
Is he wanting you, Hutch, to get your goalkeeper to play it all the time?
Aye, he's wanting to play for the back. Aye, but we're not a team that can turn teams big high balls up front, because we've not got the players to do that. Obviously, we're good at passing the ball, breaking lines, wee frizz in the middle of the park. So, no, that's the way he wants to play, and the boys are taking it on board.
Did
so.
He take Big Jim's job?
Aye. Jim, nice. Do you have a job? Nah, Big Jim. Jim was good to be fair. He was there when I was there, Big Jim. But he used to play things at top corner and celebrate and all that. Jim, what are you doing, man? But he was, to be fair, he was good. I like Jim. He was brilliant. Great
guy. You're going to go into your career, so just calm yourself right down there. Kevin, Kyle, hospitality, first time in open goal history. Take it away, my friend.
I know there's a great day planned, which sees your tickets include a free scan from Box Bar. I think that's what I'm looking forward to the most. I'm going to get a free Box Bar this Saturday.
What's that? So that's Box the game,
Bar,
isn't it?
Aye, so Box Bar's bringing the food, I presume.
Is that bringing that hot chicken wing challenge again?
Oh, as long as I watched that.
After the players before the game.
As long as it didn't bring any
was
chicken
it hot?
Wings.
Fucking I watched it. Oh, mate.
It's hot.
Brutal, it looked brutal.
Right, and then obviously access to the bar, executive seating for the game, plus entertainment, including a pre-match question answer with me. Ask me whatever you want, I'll just give you the honest answer. And then afterwards, if
anything
at all.
No holds barred, do you?
No holds barred. Ask me everything. I don't know, I'm thinking about maybe a wee jumpsuit or something.
That's a new jumpsuit.
and then obviously after you're going to have a question and answer with Si and Slaney, but that's all dependent on a result. We'll get a result on Saturday. The boys have obviously had a big break.
A game before. A game.
Aye, they'll beat Star Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. They had a good result the weekend.
Yep.
First time we've done it, Slaney, and I think it'll be a success.
I think it'll be
35 bangers.
And there's a few tickets left, so make sure you get on the website, the link in bio below. Brodders, Rangers B was our last game. How did you think it went?
Thought it was a good performance against arguably the best side in the league. Always difficult playing the B team, especially Rangers Celtic.
We have found it difficult, mate, haven't we, every game this season?
I think they raised their game against us as well, if I'm being honest. But the way they move the ball and their interchange, it's hard to play against. But I thought we'd come up with a good game plan and we stuck to it. And arguably, we could have went on and won that game.
Mm-hmm. There was a spell, I think, from maybe the start of the second half and a good 20, 25 minutes where you think, we're in tap here.
Right.
I mean, see if you can score a couple more or whatever. But it's so hard, because it's so hard to sort of understand what's the right way of going and playing these teams. Do we sit off or do we go and try press? Because it's difficult, isn't it? We found that especially.
To go toe-to-toe with them sometimes, they've got top players. Well, you've seen the money they're spending at B level. They had a player playing it, cost them $400,000. Mm-hmm. So that's what you're competing against, even this level with the B teams. If they can go and spend that money, how can teams in the Lowland League compete with that? They can't. No. And it's the same with Celtic.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No. So it is. But even them being full time is a big advantage as well. And the fact that they played a few games, we had a good, 2 weeks break before that game.
Yeah.
So to come out and have the energy levels we did was brilliant. And hopefully it gives us that wee kick on now that we can go in a wee run.
Have you seen, brother, sort of the last time you were on the podcast or something, during the start of the season, have you seen an improvement in our boys and our team that we were playing?
I think we have. I think. As well, not only is the boys improved, I think the coaching staff have as well, because we were settling this one dimension play, but I think as a coaching staff we've developed that not every game you can play that certain way. You need to adapt, and we have adapted against the B teams, especially for the first game against Celtic. We learned from that.
Yeah. Hutch, have you come to watch any of the games? That's nice of you.
I will, mate. I've been invited. Big Jim's and Dell's been sent to me come along, so I'll come along one Friday night.
Del?
But Dell, aye. I mate, not like him.
Nah.
Great guy, mate.
Kev, what were you with your thoughts on the team, mate?
I think, like I've said this before, like in all the games that Broomhill's played this year, nobody, apart from maybe the odd B team and possibly Stirling Uni away and Trinent away, I think we're as good as anybody in that league. The difficulty has been injuries, suspensions at the wrong time, games being cancelled, which is always going to happen, because I think possibly in the last 46 weeks we haven't had many games, maybe 3-4 games. And I think the good parts of the season, when everybody's been fit and healthy and no suspensions, we've went on a run of games where we've won 8, 9, 10 games undefeated. Nobody able to get that momentum going because of breaks and the fixtures and stuff, but if there's a time to go on a run of fixtures, it's now. Starting with Dalbeattie Star tomorrow night. You're still in Uni, who's up there pushing. 3 points off of them would be open it up to some of the teams. They're another full-time team who's training every day, well organised by the manager. He's had them going well, good run in the Scottish Cup. So it'll be a tough game, but a game that we shouldn't fear, a game that we should be going there with confidence, especially having, I would say, Drew with Rangers B, but potentially could have won that game.
Yep.
And I think that's just been the kind of summary of the season, that some of the games we should have won, and we've lost some horrific games. And all teams have done the same, but I would always say it, East Stirling home and away, Annan at home, 7 points, missing a penalty against Spartan, add in 9 points to your tally, you're sitting 4 points behind top of the league. And that's the difference, it's fine margins. Yep. And that's what I think this year, we'll be able to give it a run right to the end of the season, but I think it's a big learning curve, like Broder says, the coach has been able to adapt to different scenarios like that Celtic game at home up in Airdrie. They popped the ball about and we just chased shadows, and they were just, like I say, they're full-time, they're fitter, they're paying 400 grand for players and stuff, it's tough.
But I honestly think there's been a massive, I mean, at the start of the season we had maybe played really good two games, and maybe the next game it wasn't so good, but I think now we're, I mean, the results were in, they had the wins, but I think the consistency's been there, and I think we're showing that. See the way we're playing Broders as well, we were playing, and when the right time to press on, I think as a team they were overall much better.
No, I definitely agree with both, he's what he's saying. I think for a senior player and a coaching staff point of view, like the mistakes we were making at the beginning of the season, we don't really concede goals like that.
No, you're not seeing that, are you?
Proper good goals we concede, and sometimes you've just got to hold your hands up and say it's a good goal. Whereas maybe the first 10 games, without naming players, a cross would come in and maybe get end up in your goal with someone misclearing or Div dropping it, and he'll open his hands up, because you can see from the beginning of the season how well Div's come on as a goalie. And who knows where these guys will go? They might not be with us next year. They might go at a higher level. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good thing from a club and a coaching staff point of view. But from a coaching staff point of view as well, you've seen the progress of these players. They have improved. We've improved as a team. We're adapting. So these players have learned a style of play that Si wants to play, playing from the back, being brave. They're brave at doing that. They've got another side where they can dig deep and be ugly now. So these players have improved, and if they're with us next year, great. If not, and they move on to bigger and better things, that's good for a couple of things as well.
I think the biggest compliment you can give the team is that the performance against Spartans away, horrible conditions, wind blowing right over the park, down behind twice, and got back to 2-2, and then missed a penalty in the last minute, and you're like thinking, if that had been earlier in the season, that game would have been put to bed by Spartans, and that would have been it. Yeah. But the boys kept going, and then the week after, I think we played East Kilbride up there, up at K Park, and I thought we were the better team by far. Yeah. They got a really good goal. Div made a couple of good saves, but we also hit the bar twice, a couple of good opportunities. And I think ever since then, it's just been a case of trying to get momentum, but the games have been cancelled for whatever reason, or the fixtures have been rejigged, whereas now I think it's going to be potentially going to be Wednesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday for the next... Yeah.
I think you have 10 games to go.
Is it 10? You look at every game this year. I don't think there's, apart from the Celtic B game and Rangers B there, a game you would say, right, we've been blown away. I think we've probably dropped points from our point of view. We're always making mistakes. Yeah. No team's beaten us.
No, it's like you look at that. If we go to Stirling Uni, if you think of the first game against Stirling Uni, we got, was it Cookie sent off?
Yeah.
So we're down to 10 men, and the game was kind of like huffing and puffing for both sides.
But if you look
and
at then, three of the goals, they were breakaways for us, pressuring them.
And that's the thing. You said it earlier on. Teams haven't had to work really hard to get some of their goals. And I think that's been ironed out. But we're now in at the sticky part of the season. You like it sticky. And we've obviously now just got to knuckle down and see where we go. Because like 10 games, 30 points. Listen, that's achievable. It is achievable. It's a big ask. But listen, if you don't set yourself targets, there's no point in trying.
I think as well, we could be 10 points at minimum better off.
Oh, I've just said it. I've rattled off 4 games there.
Yeah.
2 East Stirlings and 2 a draw away Spartans when you miss a penalty 92, and the draw away Gretna at home. There's 10 points straight away.
But for it between you two today?
No, we're just being professional. It's a good league.
Have you been involved
in it? It's a hard league. No, I was
just watching it.
Aye, but
it's tough. It's a hard
league. It's a good league. I'll tell you what. It's a
higher level.
No,
you're not going to say that.
Do you not speak to lower league players?
No, I do, mate. I do. That was only two, remember?
Was it
the breaking?
So you were, mate. Aye. Do you know me, Matt McDonald?
He was, I think he was Airdrie just before me.
Just before you?
I think he left and I came in again. So.
What a player. Have you watched the documentary about the recent episode that came out? Brilliant, innit? Have you watched it?
The one about who?
The one, the,
oh, the documentary, the whole club.
The trip to Bucky.
Oh, I've seen it. Aye, yeah. Brilliant.
I was disappointed that there wasn't a video in it of someone jumping about the bus bollock naked.
Mate, I'm not joking. I swear to God. I forgot when it was coming out. So I woke up. I think I woke up the night. It was a Sunday morning it was coming out. So see about 3 a.m. Saturday. I went, fuck, I've not messaged the producer. I think Mars is going to be in that. Make sure that you get a pure fear for it. But thank God the producer took it out.
Oh, brilliant.
Brock was outstanding on that. But I think somebody said he's getting a bit of stick for his... Aye, his accent, his or the accent, way the Murty shoes.
His accent's terrible. He kept saying, what was it?
Wee Fellies. Wee Felly, that's just him,
wee Felly.
Mate, we were a man doing the last game, and he's come in after the game and says, my back's killing me, carrying news lot.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant.
Can you knock him, can you?
Brilliant.
No, he's a confident boy, but he backs up. Who, Gaz, he was so funny on it. And honestly, mate.
Oh, what a boy he is.
Oh, you played me, Gaz? Did you play me, Gaz? Where about Huts?
He was at Hamilton. I was at Hamilton. He was a young boy at the time. Brilliant boy, brilliant crackpot. Was canon, but lovely boy, man.
Lots
of time
drinking for 2 hours, and then all of a sudden, give me a bottle. When half that bus steaming,
aye,
2 hours down the road,
he's
like, I'm not drinking, I'm not drinking. Ended up out in the tin.
Oh, brilliant. Aye, some boy.
Basil was on it talking a lot, wasn't he? He was quite good talking. Basil, need to get him on.
Was he? Aye,
he's asking.
We don't have Basil on.
Aye, he's pricking my ear, isn't he?
Aye. Is one going to give you a bit because he slaughtered his gear?
Oh, so he's still not happy.
A lot of people like come on and give you a bit because you've just gave them it, mate.
Who would you say?
You've changed. You've changed, mate. Try to phone him, mate. They bought your phone, not now.
That's
changed big time.
That's a different number you've got. That's leaving the right number. Yeah, you're phoning somebody else.
Did you bring that photo in you had?
I've got it, mate. Aye. I've got that on my screen.
He says he had a photo. A trip to Newcastle.
Kev, we're all sitting right. Newcastle Tottenham right game. So we're all sitting at the table. All the boys are drinking, blah, blah, blah. Sitting watching it. And he's come in with flip flops, not one, right? He's like, I'm going for a haircut. Who's coming? I'm like, what are you talking about, Slaney? He says, no, I'm going for a haircut. Anybody coming? And I watched the game. Sit down. He's like, no. Went away. About an hour and a half later, he's came back, mate, right? He's walked in. That bit he said was just shaved right up. There's my phone.
The old guy.
My phone's right there. I'll go and get it. I need to show him.
I showed him it.
It's old incredible, guys, yeah. Mate. Big bits flat out here, and that bit's shaved right down, mate. Honestly,
that was a melting, just hit it. Oh, so you think back of that? No, that was a complete melting down Newcastle.
What were you thinking?
I remember all the other teams were there.
Honestly, Kev.
Still pulled though, didn't you?
Aye.
No, isn't it? I was quiet. Yeah. I think I've had a back then or not.
You didn't.
But see, that night, I remember after that haircut I was going out, and all the other teams were English teams and Scottish teams were there, and they were all coming out to me like that.
You all right?
He's not lying, they
weren't. That was brilliant.
You didn't drink?
Do
you drink now?
Still don't drink,
mate.
I've never.
So he didn't
drink.
Are you drove during the bus?
I remember it. So see, I'm a good guy, that sort of day, mate.
What happened in that trip, mate? It was wild.
It was brilliant, wasn't it?
You think anything else?
I was a photo of you, mate, but I'm not.
Have you?
I'm not going to. I want to see them going by you, mate.
I hope he's not the guy that doesn't drink.
No, I'm not that. I'm not one of the guys.
What about you last night?
No, I'm not one. I'm not one of the guys, brothers, honestly.
Right, Hus, we're going to go into your career. I didn't know this, mate, and I know about you. No, I know about you. You started at Aberdeen as a kid, mate.
I did, mate, aye.
What age were you? How did you get shouted with him?
Well, what happened was I was at Rangers. He started with John Brown and he wanted to sign me. At the time, it was a 2-year deal, blah, blah, blah. And then agent at the time, she thought it's fell through. So at that time I was nearly greeting at the time, so I'm thinking, why is it fell through? What's happening here? He said, listen, you're going to Aberdeen the following week. I got up with Jim Leighton and done well, and I got
Jim Leighton, it was there?
Jimbo, yeah, he was my goal. Aye, he was good. He was old school. I liked him. He was good, but
Did you need to stay up there, mate?
I stayed. I left school, straight for school, 16, straight up.
Many years
and Diggs was there about nearly three, 4 years.
Was that hard, mate, moving away for
you? No, it's all right.
16?
I was 6, 17, aye. It was hard because I was obviously back. I was a homeboy. I just loved being home and that, and then just leaving to go to Aberdeen was difficult, but I enjoyed it.
We were talking about this yesterday when Cal Naismith said when he went away, it actually helped him. But then Si kind of said when he went away, it almost he got a wee bit lost.
Aye.
Because he didn't have like people there to sort of ground him or tell him.
It did with me. Obviously, I wanted, see, I was younger, see, looking back now, I wish I'd have stuck in and just went and focus on it. I was wanting to go back. See, on a Friday, see, after we played the 19s game or reserve game, I was wanting to get back home. So I wanted to get back in the train and get back home. Instead of just going right now, focus on Aberdeen, what card's the young boy?
It's funny, I was always that mindset worked. I was
the same at Hibs.
Aye. You always wanted to go on?
Leaving and getting home the year after. And worked out alright for me, but that was the same. It's amazing. I was the same after a game, train him.
Aye, you're always
wired. Even like when I was at Sunderland, when my 2 years as a YT, we were only allowed to go home like every 12 weeks or something. Right. And that was fine because they paid for, you had like in your contract, you had like four all expenses paid trips home. But then once you made the first team and you're earning more money, as soon as a game was finished on a Saturday, my thought was back to Schnorr. Hey, get back to Schnorr to see my mates. I'll go back.
I look back now and I think, I
don't have a lot of regrets if it went, but I hardly have any. But the one thing I could probably pinpoint is, see if I'd have just stayed down the road. And just no bothered going home drinking, because I was going home like on a, if I was say suspended or injured on a Saturday, I'd go home on the Friday after training, about Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday club, maybe phone Mad Mick on the Monday to say that I was fucking dying, or somebody was ill, hey, look after my mum, she's not feeling very well, and then turn up on the Tuesday and you're thinking, you've just had 4 days on the drink, and looking back now, you're thinking, that wasn't acceptable, whereas had you just stayed away, concentrated on the football and fully focused on the football, what could have been?
You had some career.
I still look back and think it could have been better. It could have been a lot better. Could I looked after my body better? I used to think because I was a big guy, I could push everybody off the ball. But there was guys that I couldn't push off the ball. So had I went to the gym more and bulked up a wee bit more and got a bit more powerful, more dynamic or something, like you say, a bit more, no stiff. I could have worked in yoga. I could have got my hamstrings. I could have done all this. We've talked about the boy, Alan Campbell, yesterday. Apparently, he's got the gym in the house and he's got himself, he's now running by players and stuff because he's identified something he can do to make himself better. Sometimes you need a bit of guidance, but sometimes it's majority you need to do it within yourself.
I think you need that. It's just saying you need to do it within yourself. It needs to come for you. Somebody could say, yeah, I go game, but stay up. But if you don't like it, then
100%. Who was that Aberdeen? Who was the players in that team, first team at that time?
Stan Young, Desi, Jay McAllister, David Priest, Ryan Essen.
Who was that manager?
Jeb Skodav was there at the start when I was there. And then it was Steve Parson. Him after that, so but Jim Leighton was always, he was my coach right through. So,
how was like the first team boys? Were you quiet because you mean you're old, like, good. But were you quiet when you were young?
See, to be fair, they loved me because I was
daft
boy, not jumping in that. Seeing the rest of all the boys were scared to go in, and I'd put my head in, just jump in and have a laugh and a joke. So, they took to me quite well, you know what I mean? I remember one day it was Big Dinky, Marker, and Dez and all that. So, I've jumped in and he's thought we're going to grab me. Stuck me in the physio chair and actually taped me the full fit, mate. I couldn't move to the left for about half an hour, mate, sitting like that. I'm at, what, chief, I got up here, I swear they couldn't, they were all howling, mate. I'm at, Mac, could you slit us up, please? They went, don't come back to this dress room, you're a wee gals. I'm all right, no bother, mate, I'll stay in the way change.
But I'll find with that, see if they done that, I'll find they liked you.
They took to me.
See if they didn't really like anyway. No. Probably, you thought, I didn't feel bad. You know, but were you lads when you were at Hibs, well, the first team boys were like, were you?
A wee bit, like, we had a wee group because we were stuck up there. We used to hang about to 6 o'clock at night, and you the big kit man, big Jim, would come in with the brush man, switch your lights off, and just swing the brush.
The lights off in the boot room. Who the fuck came up with that?
We used to put the inner Kevin Ball used to say, right, I heard you've all been fucking carrying on at the weekend, get in that fucking boot room now. So then you go to the boot room, right, there's maybe like 20 of us in a boot room that was no bigger than a fucking 4x4 meter room. And he'd fucking take, he says, he can grab whatever boots he's want, and there's a ball, keep the ball off each other in the boot room with the lights off, door locked. So taking boots off the thing and start hitting each other.
And made full force.
And try to keep the ball, kicking the ball, everyone's looking for his ball, and it was just like, you come out and everybody was battered and bruised, guys with blood nose, and you're like, and he says, that's better, right? He's a unit, he's not staying together and all that, and you're like,
I remember
the worst
man,
initiation
right?
thing I've ever.
Kevil's one at Aberdeen, that's boy Kev McHattie, I'll never forget this McHattie, right? So he's turned it, he's put about 4 soaks and put it in the shower and wet it, right? So it's like a sort of wetting, right? So everybody's walking in and lights up, nobody's panting. Rick Foster's like, what's going on, mate? And I'm like, so I've jumped in and bang, man, I just felt scud. And I'm like, oh no, pure days, mate. I'm like, guys, are you all right? I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to get away from me. Mate, nearly wiped me clean out. Soak about 4 soaks in the one soak, wet soaking.
That's nuts, isn't it?
Oh, mate.
That doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen now, but you think if somebody now, that happened now.
That's different.
Mate, it would be like, I think it happens in some clubs that are still old school. But it, like, are you imagining that at the top?
Anymore.
No, I don't. See the onboys, it's like, you know, there's nothing there anymore. No. But with the bibs, and I was clean, you clean toilets, scuttings, and you know what I mean? Now, it's different now, there's no really.
Beating the FA Cup semi final, no, FA Cup, FA Youth Cup, and they were terrible. And Peter Reid just came down and went, right, see, yous, stadium light the morning, 9 o'clock, the lotties, bring your scrubbing brushes, made us clean all the stairs of the stadium right. Light. Because we were terrible in just one game, you're like. Imagine saying that to like young kids now that are maybe 5-10 grand a week, 18 years old, being clean the stadium. Nah,
just looking at laughing.
Right, no.
Was there anybody at Rangers Brothers that would be like to not terrorise the young ones, but wind them up or?
Nah, because see, before the young boys weren't really allowed along there, but, but you'd have ones that would come. Like Cal would come along and would be so cocky.
Would he?
Dean the boys and all that. He'd come and train with us and that. How am I not playing? Honestly, 17 year old. Look at me. I should be starting.
Oh, did you like, I know you like, you like Cal, but did you ever go like, he needs to wind his neck?
Nah, I was just pissing myself. David Weir and Jig and that would smash him.
Would he?
See, if he wasn't in their team, he was getting it.
Aye.
But to be fair, Cal didn't care. He just got up and going, and then you would see him in the gym because the young boys weren't allowed in the gym until the first
time. Mm-hmm.
Cal and Nicole were in there first, pumping weights in front of the first team.
They two would start the gym.
This is my gym.
He would do the taps off. He would do the tap off and go, look at that six pack, man. Bro, is it still six or seven there now? And he'd just be walking about, and it was like the worst fucking six pack you've ever seen. Bro, just wee tiny blocks.
Did I meant to ask this. Did McCoist get annoyed at him all the time?
I think McCoist just kind of gave up on him. Like, he just, like, I think he just gave up on him in terms of, like, he was funny. Like, he was really, really funny. He would, like,
it's naturally
he
funny,
would come up and just say, like, there's a gaff I put that fucking team up when I'm not even in it, man. I should really go and just chat with his door and say, gaff,
he made a mistake.
And he probably would say to him, and then the gaffer would just, well, McCoist was different at that time. He was different.
But he was doing that when it was Walters' team.
Aye.
See, if Boydie, who's scoring 30 goals a season, am I not playing ahead of him? I can score more than
him. Brilliant.
Hutch, back to you on that. Yes. Aberdeen, how did it, so were you there 2-3 years and then you ended up leaving? Was it Clyde you went to, mate?
No. I went to Peter Sill Juniors.
Did you?
It was my dad's, my mate was his manager at the time. And he's like, listen, because I wasn't interested. See, when I left there, it was like,
well, you know,
Steve Patterson, oh, you're a bit small, blah, blah, blah. And my confidence was shattered a wee bit, to be honest. And I came back and it was like, what did they do? I was like, I don't why. I'm sick of it. Just smart. I don't like the anymore. And then I went there and it was probably the best thing I've ever done. It was man's football.
Mm-hmm.
I was just getting cluttered, smashed all about the place. And I loved it. Oh, I loved it. Guy called Psycho. Oof, that was his nickname. So I was like, I was staying behind him every corner, you know what I mean? So, but it made me a better goalie, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. And then after that, I went to Clyde. And
who was that? Joe Muller?
Joe Muller, aye. Joe took me in. And it was the time when I think Celtic had just beat Clyde 2-1. And so I'd came in after that and it was like, he said, listen, Peter Cherry's my number one, blah, blah, blah. I says, well, me being me. I says, well, I want my chance. And I says, give me a chance and I'll take it. He says, I will. I says, I'll get you this year, but it's up to you to do it. Big Peter Cherry, man, was raging. Obviously, I played in the cup game. We won. Got in the final. Never looked back. 3 years. 100 games for Clyde, aye. Just never looked back. That's just the mentality I had, you know what I mean? It was like, I like to play.
Was Bomber Brown there at Clyde as well?
Aye, he was with me enough. Brilliant.
Was he good?
Brilliant.
Was he?
Loved him, aye.
Was he mental?
Aye, crap, pop, brilliant. Like, I loved him. He just said how it is, not when he would just tell you if you weren't the day in it, if you weren't good enough, he would just boom, hit you straight with it. No mess about.
I get told last night and I don't know, George Alberts was in.
Mate.
Is that true?
George, I played with George for about 3 months. He was my hero, right? Growing up. I loved George Alberts, blah blah blah. And I remember him one day in training, he's like, oh, do you see any chance of staying out for maybe half an hour after training? I was like, George, you're my eating for you. Anything you want, I'm there, right? She's like, I'm going to line up boys free kicks. No bother. She's hit the first one, right? Which went, never like that. I no bother, George, right? Second one he's hit, and I couldn't get my hand. It hit me there. I swear to God, Kev, nearly took the socket out of my shoe. And I went, George, I'm away, mate. Just get one of the young boys in, man. See you later. I just want to start.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
You laughing?
See, the first game, he was like, he was 37 at the time, and he was falling out of the ball and all that. We were going, "Come on!" And then the second game we played, I think it was Stirling Albion, fourth bank, and the free kick 30 yards out. Oh, George just hit the target, mate, stuck it right in the stands. I've actually ran about 900 yards to get to celebrate. My mum jumping to happy, pissed off. John Brown, bomber. We were struggling at the time at Clyde in the championship. We were obviously doing a boat with that, and he said we're going to bring him in. Just morale, everything just lifted. We end up, because we do Gimney and all that, we're playing
was
at the time.
He was a good guy, like sound.
Aye, he was brilliant, see, for the club and all that, the boost it gave us when we were struggling at the time. Who was the character incredible in that team?
Big Gimney,
he's Dougie, nuts, mate.
Aye, just, he's not like that now when you speak to Dougie, though.
He's mostly on the side of the pitch, but for Morton, he's shooting the ball. He's done really well for Morton as well.
That is very good.
Very good, mate. Yeah, it's good.
He's done. I think the fact he took in Andy Millen with him, what a. Andy Millen's brilliant.
Yeah, he's brilliant. And remember, he was at
Burnley. We had Andy there. Remember, he was brilliant. They've just
kept him. If you're working with Andy, if you can't like Andy, then.
Remember the time Marco got sacked? We were all trying to get him a job, man. They beat a bit fuller.
No, remember me?
Aye, you but.
No, remember they sort of didn't get the job, and then I started on the bench, like sent half after 5 minutes.
Well, I remember that.
Was that the game against Clyde?
We were like,
we'd love Andy to be the manager.
We were in a right bad run. Marco was just sacked, and then Andy was just taking it for a couple of games. So we were like, listen, we need to win here because obviously to win for Marco as well. But I just mean, if Andy's getting a chance of getting this because he was involved with Marco, and then I started the bench, and wasn't that the day we got started on the bench, but I came on. And that was the one where the worst touch in history. I know you've seen a few this season, baby, but I did the worst touch in history, and I fucking chasing. You seen it? I thought, that's it. Killed Andy, didn't we?
Aye, we did. Aye.
Did Andy
greatest guy in football me done that to him?
Right. Well, it was great.
Did he?
No, but do you remember the one Andy did go mental to somebody?
Oh, Mikey McGowan, he brought up the boys. I've never seen, remember that? Mikey said something, and he went like, shut up, Mikey said something again, and I'm like, here he goes, next minute, boom, right up to him, balls everywhere, and I'm like, that. Why not? Because
don't get the right side, Andy.
No, because you don't.
But I've never seen that side of him. No. So wasn't he? Like, we all seen him being nice, and he was this nice.
Was Andy not playing then? No, nothing.
No, he didn't even join in. I don't like Andy,
He was done by that time, but he just one side.
Because somebody kept saying, like, Andy's nuts, and then you meet him, like, he's the greatest guy ever, nice, and then that day. Oh, did you ever see him switch?
Aye, that first year I was there, I don't know who it was he went with, but he fucking go off a man, and he just knew. Aye. I'm sitting there as a senior pro thinking.
I'm sitting next to him,
but the young guys just, they want to get a bit back.
Aye.
And you're like, just shut up, listen to what he's saying. He's had a good career, Andy. He knows what he's talking about, listen to him.
Aye.
But.
Did you ever play against Andy then when you came back up?
St Mirren.
So did I play them. I was
good player.
15 at Motherwell, I played against
him. Was he not the oldest, one of the oldest midfield players in the Scottish Premier League?
Mm-hmm. He could be, aye.
He's one of them. I played at like 40 odd.
Why do you think Andy doesn't want to be a number one?
I just think he genuinely loves coaching.
Do you think so?
Coach didn't take the training and stuff like that, aye?
Oh, definitely. Andy?
He's worked in football his whole life. And like when I used to share a lift with him, didn't he come on old? He had a wee job during the day working as a gardener, helped with the garden. Helping the boy with the gardens, and then he would do it tonight. But just his training was good.
It was
training was enjoyable. It was
the boys loved it.
It was all drilled. but appropriate
to the game, and that's what
it wasn't. You were never standing about bored, and the intensity was good. I like that about it. And I thought, like, you could, I thought I would. I still use him now. I would go round and chap his door and hit him for his book and drills and look for ideas and stuff. Because he's, and even when I do some of the courses that I'm doing with SFA, I would ask Andy for advice on them because he does the assessing as well.
Does his, I don't know if he does do it anymore because he's full time.
Maybe doesn't do it now, but he did do some of, like, the B license and A licenses and stuff. But brilliant guy,
He can't be done. Remember, you tried to Cruyff Morph and you told me to get to, and I chased you.
Him off, signed me Glenaf.
Did he?
I was in Hutch's team, right?
Aye, but Rod's, I'm like, right, pass, get away from my goal. He was like, there, fine. Right? And he tried to Cruyff Morph, Morph to Gav, started laughing, Hutch, get him, put it in, and I'm like, Slaney. Oh. He's like, ah, get yours. And I went like, I lost that bomb. Chased him, mate.
Chased him.
Full round the pitch.
That's what it was, wasn't it?
Aye.
Who was he? You're fighting with somebody in the dressing room, I know.
Who?
Jai. It was, remember?
That was a bucket. Remember, I shot my tap and he was the one standing, remember? So funny. He was stunning up like that. And everybody sat down. He's like, you mean? I'm like, he's like, and he's like, and I went off and it just bombed.
Mate, that period was horrible, by the way, wasn't it? We just kept getting beat.
We had a decent team, seeing paper, looking paper, with some really good players. Jai was brilliant.
Scotty in the middle.
Aye, Scotty, big beats, Morph.
Morph had just left, I'm sure, mate.
Was we Forrest there?
Forrest was there. But it was a right good team, mate. But
Mikey Donald's still there.
Big McKenna, aye. Scott McKenna. He played at the back.
He was after me.
Was he after you?
Were you in there when McCall came in?
I'd played probably. He came in, I think it was 4 months ago.
Did you play with Big Jamie then?
Jamie Adams, aye. Aye. Aye, Big Jamie, aye.
That's my brother, though.
They're a good team, mate.
Did you get on, Nicole?
Oh, nah, all right, aye.
Don't be sitting at the fence,
no. We played 10 of the season. I think they'll fell on interest in me at the time. I said, I'm quite happy here. And then, end of the season, said, nah, not for me.
They brilliant, though, with that team.
Aye, they got promoted, didn't they?
Aye.
So how long ago was that then?
2013, am I right? No.
Aye.
2015, 2016, 2015.
But for that team, though, it's weird. Do you think that for that team, Forrest and Nicky, Devon and
Nicky, aye, done really well.
Hearts.
The ones, James's brother. Honestly, like, he was a good. He must have been about 16 or 17 when he was when I was there, and he was just a wee skinny wee boy.
Aye.
And everybody just kept asking him every day he came in, what's your brother up to?
I know, and said, I know.
Like, he'd sit there quiet in the corner.
Aye.
And then, because there was a couple of stories floating about his brother, and we'd be asking that, what about James, is that true? What he's up to and all that? And then, New obviously went to Livy.
Then Hearts.
To Hearts and fair play.
Did you hate it when you were there, Kev? No, the actual air, but I mean, the way your game had went or whatever like that, were you struggling?
Aye, I just like, I'd left Rangers at the third division for an injury and just thought I would get another team, like maybe like Championship or something. Aye. Didn't have an agent, I never had an agent. And I phoned a couple of clubs, said, could I come in and train me? And I'm like, nah, phone Partick Thistle. Alan Archibald, he said no. Phone somebody else, no. And then somebody phoned me and says, Kev, try to come down to here. And he says, we'll give you £300 a week. And I was like, right, okay, that's all I've got. And I went down and I think, just that alone, I just kind of gave up.
But yeah, I thought you'd done that. No, I tried. It was just, listen, it was all right.
Because you were used to being full time,
and then all of a sudden,
going to part time, and I come on all the, and I'm a Tuesday night, sitting all day in the house with the kids, and then thinking, oh, I've got to go to training for 6 o'clock. I just didn't.
Did you enjoy it?
I didn't. No, listen, see the dressing room.
It was good, wasn't it?
And the people there,
it was good,
amazing. Yeah. Marco, Kills I don't dislike Marco.
Aye.
I just had a different opinion of how I thought the team.
Would you tell him that?
No, I wouldn't tell him. I just, there was an assistant guy in there called Davey White, and I thought he was hopeless. I'll be honest with you. I just thought his training was shite. He took training one night and I walked half the park and said, well, no, Dave, this is shocking. This is shocking. And I just had a lot of respect for Andy Allen. I thought Andy was brilliant.
Kerzo as well.
And Kerzo, fucking brilliant kit man, Kerzo. He was amazing. And then it just got to the end of the season and As I had my form declined, he just used to say to me with 2 minutes to go, "You're going on, big man." I'm like, "I'm not fucking on."
I used to
stick the young boy on. Stick the young boy on.
Would you do that?
Aye, I says, "Marco, I'm not going on for 2 minutes to go. Stick with Arlen on or something and give him the experience of playing, or wee Robbie Crawford or somebody."
Aye, aye.
And then, that was it. And then when it actually came to an end, and I thought, "Do I want to go through that hassle of phoning managers again, try to get a club?" I didn't know nothing about June. I tell you, I'm not right. I'm convinced of this. I'm pretty sure Mick Kennedy phoned me after there and said, "Do you want to go to Coval? I'll give you a couple of £100 a week."
Why?
I forgot that day he was in, and then I thought, "Nah, fuck it, I'm going to go and get a job, and I'm just going to get home in my life. Forget all about football altogether." And then I got a job, started applying for fucking bakeries, I started applying for everything.
Every job, aye.
And then somebody says, "Go offshore, let's print the money offshore," and I got that job.
I remember
toilets
that.
And the shite.
I remember
and
that.
And I just went, and I worked there for 2 years. 18 days on at a time, 10 days halfway for the family, 12 hours shifts a day, and got fucking slaughtered for
it. I just kept going, got it done.
Why though?
I got it done. And then I decided to become a taxi driver. And then these boys one day asked me to come on the show. I've got my love for football back, and now
you went full time all your career to part time.
Part time, aye.
And you struggled to train at night.
Aye.
Mm-hmm. So I struggled? Had that for the first 3 years.
I loved. Like, I'm quite robotic in terms of, like, when I know that it's Monday to Friday, we're in at Rangers at 9 o'clock, and I'm routine, blah blah blah, and we're leaving at 4 o'clock, and that's me done. I knew that every day when I was at Rangers, on that fucking treadmill at 7 o'clock. Then we'd do a gym session, then we'd do in the training, and I had to stay back and do a weight session, because McCoy's like, "We need to get 2 stone off you minimum." Mm-hmm. And I wasn't that heavy, actually. Fucking, I didn't think I was. It was just Jimmy Bale giving me fucking small shorts. And I like that routine, but see, like, if you think about it, I'm at home. I've got, at that time, 2013, I've got a 2-year-old or something, wee Harry, and I've got Max is 7. So Max at school got Harry, and I'm like, "Harry, come on, we'll go and play 9 holes at the golf." So I'd go and do 18 holes of the golf with Harry in the buggy. And then I'd get in the house, maybe go for a wee pub lunch into the golf course. And then think, "Oh, fucking hell, I've been training." I just had no interest.
Aye.
And I wasn't getting any enjoyment out of it.
Mm-hmm. What age were you then?
I'd be 32.
Fuck.
I was only 32, 33, aye. I was still young. I thought I had loads to offer, but fucking head was gone. I just couldn't get motivated to...
It's difficult when you've been full-time and you can do it. It's hard to get going again, isn't it? Because as you said, you're used to that.
I've just been scunnered with injuries. I think that had really got to me, and I just thought, I can't go this again. Mm-hmm. But listen, met him, Kerzo, meeting new brothers. Aye. Some of the people I've met since giving up football.
Aye.
My life's fucking brilliant. It's honestly, don't take it too seriously.
It's
magic.
What to be.
What a man.
Running down that street. Aye, big man, that's what you're after. It's no mean meal now for a podcast in a day for
football. Cal Naismith said he's going to retire at 40. He wants to try to get to 40. Have you set a age for yourself?
No, I've not really looked at it like that. I think it's how you feel. Like, I don't wake up after games in agony or sore. I actually got up the next day and go a run. So,
have you felt at any point? And I don't mean just at any point going after a game or after going, "I don't know if this is for me anymore or I want to."
Obviously, I've had 2 backups, so my back gets sore sometimes, and sometimes I think, right, do I leave it? But you actually feel worse when you don't do nothing for a couple of days. So that's why I train all the time, because I feel better for it. So if I'm going to train all the time, I might as well do something I love and keep playing.
I think of how I felt. So flip it to you now at 38, coming 39. Do you still have that love and desire to want to succeed, because that's the wrong word. You've succeeded in your earlier career. Desire to want to achieve something with something, a different capacity, like with the Broomhill, the project that's happening here. Do you still have that burning desire to think, "Oh, I can really make a difference there"? Because I felt like I didn't have something to fight for, if that makes sense. Whereas do you wake up and think, "Oh, I'm looking forward to training Tuesday, Thursday, play Stirling Uni Saturday, can't wait"?
I look forward to the games. Training sometimes is a bit like yourself. You do stuff through the day, and then you come 5:30 at night, you're like, "Oh, I need to go to training." Don't get me wrong, I'd rather be going to my kids' classes, but
yep.
I don't get there and then I think, oh, this is rubbish. I get there and it's enjoyable. When I get into it, I feel great. But I still train every morning. Like, I get up every morning, I go straight to the gym. I go my 5K one day, 2.5 the next, depending where games are. I think it's more for a mental side. Yep. Like, if I don't do that, I feel terrible.
It's because you're used to doing it all the time.
It keeps me sane and it keeps my body feeling good. I think if I just shut down, I would feel, honest, like a bag of shite. I would feel terrible.
That's how I'm feeling.
Do you miss?
No, I don't miss playing.
Do you miss the dressing room? Or do you miss playing?
I did for a while miss the banter around some of the shit that went on in the dressing room. But now that I coach little kids, I enjoy a different type of banter with them. Like having a wee conversation with them about football and stuff. And then obviously this, the podcast, the Broomhill thing with... Like maybe asking Si questions after, or Si asking, or Slaney asking, how do you think we played last night? And being able to maybe give a summary, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent, just being able to talk about something that you did for so long, it's brought that enthusiasm back for it. And I'm like now rifling through coaching badges to try and see if there's an opportunity for Kevin Kyle somewhere. And
that's the same as me. I'm the same with the coaching thing because I used to go to like goalie, like I'd go to somebody and ask him, what do you think? And now Josh has come to me and it's trying to get that balance, you know what I mean?
Because you kind of know to ask enough questions.
No, 100%.
You've got to keep asking everywhere.
You're always learning. I think if you get to a point and you think I know it all, then you're goosed. You need to keep learning. And
definitely.
I'm still learning.
But everybody is, eh?
Get a bit emotional, isn't it?
I know, I'm going to miss this
guy. He was an absolute legend. They are brilliant with me, Andy Gorham. You were really close with him, Hutch, weren't you?
He was my mentor, he was my guru, as he called. Also sadly passed away. It was horrible for me, to be honest. But he was the best. As far as I'm concerned, goalie coach.
How long did you work with him for, Hutch?
I was at Ayr. Sit Clyde on the very start with Bomber. Brought him in. And then I took him, obviously, I said to Marco at Ayr, took him there. And then I was at Hamilton, said to Billy Reid, because I was struggling at the time. I was terrible, mate. And I was like, I need to do the goal in beside us just to get us a wee boost, because he's the one to give him a heed. And he was
brilliant because of my height.
He was also the godfather of my daughter as well, wasn't he? So he was good for me. He was the best. I mean, he was the guru. Alan Hodgkinson was to him, he was to me. He was just, I could phone him and pick
Andy
his brains.
He was good with you.
He was good with me, aye.
And can I just say, obviously, rest in peace to big Billy Thompson.
Great guy, he was another one that was a genuine old school proper guy.
Had him at command. He was a great guy. Did he not say something like it's cold out there, Billy? It's that cold out there. The polar bear's got a jacket on.
Where was he, bro? Was he a great guy?
Loved his whiskey.
Whiskey and a cigar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you, good goalie back in the day, weren't he?
He was decent.
Two of your own. You've mentioned it, Gaz Fraser and Derek Lyle.
Del boy.
What were they like at Aki's?
Good. Del was brilliant. He's always happy. I've never seen Del look angry. She sort of used to play.
We have honestly a couple of weeks.
Is that because he's getting bitched a bit by the Simple Bros?
I'm not getting involved in that because
he's hard brother to watch.
Used to be really angry. I've seen that side. It's been another case of him being bullied.
Jim won't give him any free kicks, and Jim travel together, that's close to a punch up, isn't it?
Oh,
but Jim's get free kicks. He's a ref. Oh, that could cause a bit of friction.
Did Derek get pure frustrated?
He didn't, but Si was on him for the mini semps at Buildermere, and ever since that, boys are on him, aren't they? was he mental at it?
He was good. He was brilliant. See, when I played against him, I know he would come to Combs like half day and all that and try and wind us up. You go like my strap, snub like that, ball came across, I'm like that, you run away and all that, you're a bam and all that, and have a laugh and a joke.
He loved the night out, didn't he?
I loved it, man.
How was Billy? See, Billy Reid though with that, was he alright with that?
Fine, mate. See, as long as you're winning the part, that's what can you say? You know what I mean? If you're turning up to training, you're doing well, you're winning games, what can the manager say? You know what I mean?
He was one of the dressing room boys, he was brilliant, mate.
Could you see Billy Reid then, obviously where he is now, assistant Chelsea?
Unbelievable, incredible, wasn't it?
I know,
because what was the Swedish team he was at before that? It was
Helsingborg,
and he took him there, didn't he?
Helsingborg.
Yeah, you're at it. I don't know, man. He's just making names up now. He's at it, man, isn't he?
I swear.
But no, he's done really well for himself.
Did you see him doing what he's done now?
I don't know.
You still speak to him?
No.
Nah. No, point lying, there's no point lying there, is there? Is there? I don't.
Guy Fraser. Was he just a young boy coming through?
I was. What a hit, by the way. See where he hit a ball. I'm like that. See the first day we were training that? He came in the training, wasn't he? Took a touch and he just blurred it. And I was like, oh my God. The pace he can hit a ball. Aye. How hard he can hit it.
Big boy in the shower, aren't he?
Aye, he's all right, aye. Thanks, boy.
You're not lovely, so big, boy. So you worry about it.
You talk about it. Yeah, man, he's my phone there. Take my phone there.
Take my phone there. Reach it, don't you reach it.
See?
Who's other characters in Hamilton?
Dougie was there as well. Dougie, I mean,
he's just used to, aren't
he? Aye, he was everywhere I went, he was there. You know what I mean? I'm trying to think.
Did you play there, Hutch?
Where?
Hamilton.
I think I played about 20 games or something, aye.
Who was it?
He'd left,
was
it Thomas Cherney, aye.
He was
Thomas
good.
Had a,
aye. When was that, 2009?
2010, aye. 2010. They'd just get relegated for the Premier League into the Championship.
I'm going to eat.
You were McCarthy?
No, we James and I was there, Evan. James and I was there, so I'd left. He'd left, obviously. And it was me and Thomas. And I think Thomas had a, I think it was a shoulder up or something like that. And then he struggled to come back, and then I just played. Not mean? Till last four games of the season, and he broke me and brought a junior goal in. Wow, that's bad, isn't it?
Oh,
and then,
a shocker.
Then we played in the Scottish Cup, which against St Mirren. Oh, he can't play, you're in Hutts again. I'm like, really? Cheers. Right, then played again.
A massive character you played under, Dick Campbell.
Oh, brilliant.
He's a hero, isn't he?
Right, so I'll give you a story about this one, right? So we're all sitting. We're at Hampden playing Queen's Park. So I've had a shocker again before, right?
Okay, yeah,
I know, mate. I'm actually all right, but I've played four other games, so I've done all right.
You're doing well for yourself.
So we're sitting. Hamden, and then he's like, read the team out. He's like, Rab Douglas in goals, Hamilton right back, Ricky Little left. I'm like, everybody just looked at me. He's a goalie coach, he's 46 years of age, right? So everybody's just turned that looked at me, and I'm like, what's going on here, man? So I'm sitting. He's pointing to the show, come here, you. He said, see that performance last week? You're getting too complacent. I've got this power of selection, and I'm doing it. He said, so you better get your finger out. Mate, Rab, get a clean sheet, we won 2-0. I'm like, I'm looking back in the team here. 46 years of age. He played Big Rab before me. But honestly, he was brilliant. He was incredible. I loved him, mate. He was just like one of the boys, you know what I mean? He's like, you better get your
finger. Did you not pull him up?
No, I couldn't, mate. He just wanted to see if he said something, just shut you down. He was brilliant. He was good. I respected him.
Was your family out of the game, I know?
Aye, they weren't, mate. They were all sitting in the stand, that, and it was like, but 40 big grabs like us and Hutts, I don't know. I didn't even know anything about this. That's what he said. He was like, I don't know about this, mate. Big fat cat's back, and I'm like, who's getting on here, man? Is this a wind up? Is somebody going to come in? And then they played him at 1-2 out, and then next week I was back in again. But it was just like the complacency, see, because I never had anybody to compete with, really. It was just me. So I kind of was complacent. That's how we just threw him into. Gave him a wee scare. And I went in the next week and got a clean sheet.
Let me just go. I'm going to go into general questions, Kev.
Yep.
We like as quick fire, we take this Hutts, all right, mate?
Right, okay, mate.
Biggest bust up fights you've seen in a game or training?
Game and training?
Game or training. This game, we can all answer this here. I think I've done this for you, brothers, about four times.
No, let him answer, because we've seen game that a long times, haven't we?
We really, we boy. Clyde, but me, you talk about personally, me or somebody else?
No, just else, the one you've seen.
But if you, I would rather if you shoot, it'd be even better, eh?
It's the same, let's say, like Conor, when he spoke about in the last podcast. And I ran up and kicked him in the head. Something like that, but I'm not going to say it. But I can't really think, can you?
What's happening? Bust ups.
Bust ups.
I've seen Magic Bugera and Kenny Miller go at it.
That would be a good fight.
No, it's a one side Bugera's taking.
Kenny's probably fought with everybody, yeah?
I think so.
Kenny had a few arguments.
Aye, Kenny's had a few.
Very opinionated, but good teammate.
Aye.
Angriest teammate. It's got to be you, mate, innit? Anybody no. else rival you there?
No, me.
Opponent. You again?
Played against?
Angriest opponent.
Oh, wee David Cox. Wee Coxie. What a few runs of wee Coxie.
No, he is. Oh, angry, man,
just angry. Just could have just bounced off each other, not mean that was it.
Any fan altercations during the match?
I did, and it was last year. It was Alloa, my first game. Big Neely's been there for 6 years. Get that, and he's brought me in. Made a save. Boo! I'm like that. That's Alloa fans, that's not the Cowden Beath fans. Guys give me absolute abuse, and I'm like, what is it? What's happening here? He's actually outside and all that. I says, they bother me, but then the Tuesday night came, he's rocked up in his car, didn't he? He's like, that's how you doing, mate? He says, right, mate, but I thought it was one of young boy's dad, want to speak to me, a goalie. He says, yeah, I was the one that was shouting the ball at you. I says, oh, really? Are you? Just put the bag down. Walked in, I went, here, see before they go there, I'm here to apologise to you. I said, listen, I'm not here to get beat. I said, I've been brought in to obviously win, try and do my best for the club. He's like, I know, but I like big Neil. I like big Neil Parry. And all. I said, I know, it's not a day with me. I said, I've just been brought in the club to play.
That's what
I'm really sorry, mate, and just then roll away. Say no bother, mate. That was it.
Must have heard all about you.
Give you dog boots.
Next game, he's like, yes. And see, 2 weeks ago, we played Arlo. Just give me pelters again. Get up here. I'm like, bother, mate.
What was Fergie like?
He was good, mate. He was good for me. He brought me in, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. I enjoyed him. A lot of people say that he sucked. I thought he was brilliant, mate. Brilliant, mate. Different levels that he's played at. So he's trying to put all his own boys that have more played at that level, you know what I mean? It's difficult for them. You know what I mean? So it's like, they were on the
some stories with him.
He's brilliant, mate.
I love him. Give you some stuff sitting in the fence and tell you something.
I'm not really good. Him and Bob have got
did
a good
few did you see him going for any players, Fergie? At half time or anything?
No, he had a wee go at me once. I had a wee, like, you talk to you in your heart, man. And I went, hold up, aye. But he's...
Aye, he's good, isn't he?
Aye, and I was like, sat never said it.
Do you think he'll get back into football, Fergie?
I hope so.
I think when you have his mentality as a football player,
but he's played at the highest level.
At a management level, he'll want to probably correct that, I would think.
I thought he's still 45, 46 possibly.
He's still got an ambition
was good,
to be a manager somewhere.
I was at Clyden, he was good.
I loved him, mate. I thought he was really good, Tim and Bob.
But it would be sad if he didn't get back in.
I hope he does.
Get him back in.
At what level, like?
It might get him. Championship, maybe. He'll get Rangers somewhere.
Think so?
If he wants to go in there, that's it. Would they go in? Because remember they knocked back, was it the assistant manager job or something like that, was it no? When Le Guin?
Aye, Cuscino, no.
Cuscino, sorry.
Cuscino said to him, where do you see yourself in a few years? Is he sitting in your seat?
And that was it?
Aye.
By the way, that's brilliant, I love that. Just pure honest, isn't it?
No right, best player you've played with?
Best player I've played with?
Couple sitting here in our
seat. Aye. You maybe.
Who is it? Must be Moff.
Moff, aye. That was just about to come on with
him.
I swear to God, see the pace of him and the touch. Oh. He was brilliant, mate. He was magnificent.
He came from Govan.
Govan, aye.
Alberts, or not? Brilliant.
Alberts?
Brilliant, mate.
Brilliant. 3 months, but you can't.
I've got to see that, you know what I mean? It's a Rangers legend. You need to say stuff like that.
Who else? He's an half year old, mate.
The best players I played with?
Aye. Or actually, I'm going to slash it as well. Who's the best players you played against? Best strikers, battered you with goals.
Moff battered me with goals. I know when I played with Hamilton. He did, but I'm not going to lie.
No, I'm kidding.
He did. So I was with Hamilton, he scored a hat trick. And then that time, remember when I get two penalties, he scored a hat trick that day, and he was slaughtering me. Any chance you have scored a hat trick, we've just been beat because of you. No, he was good, to be fair. He was brilliant.
Favourite manager?
Favourite manager?
It's a hard one, isn't it?
I'm going to say Rhys McCabe. Can I say it? Am I sitting the fence here?
No. So I Rhys McKay, that's fine. But before his time,
before I like Bomber and I liked Chisholm at Queen of South as well.
Was it?
I like Marco. I'm not gonna lie. I like Marco as well.
Good.
I like Marco because I could relate to him. He was a bit mental myself.
Favorite game you've ever played in? Celtic, yeah, you were picked up a Celtic, but I remember that embarrassed yourself that day, didn't you?
See if you scored at Ibrox, what would you do?
He'd done what?
Would you say, Albert? We can get to.
Head down, walk back, professional.
Remember the time Ibrox when we.
I was there.
Remember Forrest scored to make it 1-1? And the Rangers fans were giving me pelters, and I've turned around. And the full Copeland was, and I'm like, oh no. Oh no, remember that?
No.
Were you there?
I wasn't there at that time, I forgot you played against
Morph,
Rangers.
So Morph, Scotty. Malky went towards the Union Bears and me Forrest is waiting up there. Bears fans, aye. I'm like, you know what I mean? Causing riots, but.
Your favourite game?
Probably that, because it was.
Because it's Ibrox?
No, Celtic.
Oh, the Celtic game? Did you save a penalty that day?
Aye.
Who was that?
Sinclair. Scott Sinclair.
What happened though? Because there was a big thing that happened on social media after it, wasn't it?
About me?
Aye.
Aye, just because he.
What did you do again?
I just celebrated. It's like you scoring a goal, would you? Didn't celebrate.
So I was something you done again. Fair, bad. I didn't like. Left a bad taste.
They won. I was actually celebrating.
Left a bad taste. Mag, I'm watching you doing
that. See when I done it. I'm actually still celebrating, and they've took the corner, and Sean Crichton's still trying to grab me back in the goal. I'm still away at the Airdrie fans at the corner flag, and the corner's been taken. I'm running away back in. No, probably that because I extended it. No, I mean, I enjoyed that.
Worst teammate.
Worst teammate.
Oh, new spot.
Somebody said, yeah.
I was going to see you, but I can't, because no, I like you, Slaney.
Well.
I like you.
Funniest teammate then?
You, mate. It's got to be you.
Be me,
I thought you were brilliant, mate.
I'd see you there.
Ah,
what about the man you two-fitted beats in the bath?
Oh, he went right up the bath, remember that?
Saved the bath, sir.
How many beats were tight?
The one in the old school bath.
By the way, this was horrendous.
It was a wee bath. We were sitting washing his hair in that bath. Was it not an ice bath, in fact, sorry?
I think it was washing his hair in the ice bath, another, wasn't it?
So I've done that, Slaney and Scotty. You were there, you know?
Oh, no, I obviously.
It might be you and Scotty. I've done that. Watch this, right, Brods, I swear to God. I've took a run at it, and he's just sitting his feet like that. And I've jumped in, I've grabbed his feet, and he's went halfway up the bath and came right back down. He's
fuming, wouldn't he?
Touched him like that. What is it?
But the two's end up just sitting in the bath, wouldn't he, together?
I've got to vote.
Hutch, what's your advice to any young player coming through? This is my new one, Eddie.
Just go and enjoy it.
Nah, I need more than that. Need much more than that.
How? Go and enjoy football and express yourself.
And my boy's a goalie.
Oh,
is he?
Aye.
Aye.
Is he?
Wanty mans.
Aye. Get you in.
Get him up, mate.
Do you know a goalkeeping company? Clubs?
No, it was Kenny's. Kenny Hart's. I thought it was Kenny and Greggs. That's Callier. Joe, that's the. Joe never Hart and it. Greggs in it. What?
Never heard it.
That's it, mate. Get Kenny on here, by the way.
I've got one. I wanted to ask one more. What's your advice to anybody coming through? A wee bit better and enjoy yourself, because I know everybody says that, and I get that, but it's a bit.
What do you think?
For the early years, dedicate your life to it, because it's worth it. It is the best job in the world. See, for your 14 to your 19, that's dedicate your life to it, because
we'll talk about back
for the rest of your days.
We'll talk about back, like when I was about Aberdeen, you were at Hibs and all that. Don't what you focus on football, you know what I mean? Focus.
My take on it is that because of the 8 9 year olds, right? See, if you want to go to a club and have a bit of fun, find that club that'll give you that bit of fun.
Brilliant.
See, if you want to come to a fitter club and try and be a fitter player, come and work hard and listen.
Aye.
Right?
Good on you, Kevin.
You can be a good manager. Oh,
right, electric chairs just built in. Shouldn't let me talk. Electric chairs walking in. Right?
Oh, electric chairs walking
where
in.
Where is it? Is it walking? So it's walking in.
No, somebody's walking in for you. Me walking in for you. Right? It comes in and they say to you, right, Hutch, one day to go. Their last supper. Favourite, your starter, main and dessert, on you go. What are you picking?
Having mushrooms with the cheese in it. The breaded mushrooms.
You wouldn't even make the main, I'd take you out before the main. If you're eating that.
You tried that at the boxing ring, you ran away.
Come on, mate, right, your main.
Mushrooms with cheese?
That's a cracker, isn't it?
It's brilliant, breaded mushrooms, you like that?
Oh, that's nice, eh?
Beautiful, mate.
Hey, come on, main.
A chicken Milanese with the pasta.
I know,
penny
bad,
pasta.
Know bad.
And I'll go for angel cake and custard.
That's not bad, actually.
You sitting there?
I might ask you one more.
What is it?
Worst manager.
Don't say it. Don't say it.
Ian McCall. But your mum bit a bit of bush in that. That's
that.
The worst, I think.
You asked me to cut that, and I can tell you're not that brave to do that. You're not that brave to act like that.
Ian McCall.
Amazing. Thank you.
No worries, mate.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.